If you've listened to me over the last few years, you have heard me refer to Mars One several times. Mars One is a project that was started by a guy by the name of Boz Lansdorp, who wants to send human beings to Mars on a one-way mission. The plan is you send a half a dozen people there, they start the colony, then a couple years later another half a dozen people go and they join the colony, and while you're there, you pretty much have to make do with what's there. You got to send building materials or figure out how to build things out of the Martian soil. You're going to have to grow some things. You're going to have to science the you-know-what out of it, Mark Watney style, from The Martian, as Matt Damon did as that character. And in fact, that's one of the projects that my next guest is working on. His name is Viger Vamelink. He's a scientist at Wageningen University in the Netherlands, who this week announced that he thinks he's figured out a way to grow food you can eat in the Martian soil. Viger, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, indeed. And thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, were you inspired by Mark Watney, Matt Damon's adventures in The Martian?
Many people think so, but actually this is not true, because we started our experiment already in 2013, and the plan already was from that year before. So, no, we were before the movie.
Okay. You don't have any Martian soil, correct?
That's correct. No, we don't have that. But NASA instead delivers something that's very similar to it, a Martian soil simulant, and that originates from a Hawaiian volcano.
It comes from a Hawaiian volcano?
Yes.
So,
and, what I did is, based on what you can learn from Earth on the Martian soil, but also what the rovers did. They have ovens with them, so they can do analyses of the soil. And based on that, they looked, I think, within the states, which soil resembles that the best. And that, in the end, they ended up on a Hawaiian volcano.
Okay. So you had that Martian soil analog, and I guess what we're saying is it has essentially the same mineral components and other chemical components that it would if it were actually on Mars?
Exactly, yeah, as far as we know at the moment, of course.
Okay, so what did you do to try to get food to grow in that?
Well, we first started just with the soil, and that was our first experiment in 2013. And, we just sown some seeds, so not only crops, but also wild plants, because they can grow better under very harsh, difficult circumstances. And we knew it would be difficult. I thought even more difficult than it turned out to be. But that's why we also used wild plants, because they can grow under difficult circumstances. But already in that first year, what came out was that all kinds of species, including, for instance, cress, which we can eat, but also tomatoes, were able to grow on that Martian soil simulant, which was much a surprise to us, because there are lots of elements in the soil that plants need to grow on, but what basically was lacking was a key element, nitrogen, in the form of nitrate, which plants need as manure. And we also knew that there were heavy metals in the soil, and that also can cause. So already in that first year, we had growing plants.
I read that you have grown tomatoes and rye and peas and radishes. Were those the only things you planted, or are they the only things that grew?
No, there's more that grew. Now we have also green beans, for instance, and rocket. I didn't know that it was that called that in English when we choose that crop. We have potatoes. That is inspired on Mark Watney, but not only, because still our most nutritious food you could actually grow. And we have tomatoes, but we also have carrots. So in total, we have 10 different crops that are all growing well, except for for the spinach. So sorry for Popeye, but we're still, after 3 years, are not able to grow decent spinach. But it's the only crop.
That's the one that failed, huh?
Yeah, that's the one that fails.
Okay. Now
I still don't exactly know why, but...
You mentioned the metals. Do you have to worry about the heavy metals that might be in the food that's grown in that soil more than you would if it were grown, say, in the soil here in the Midwest of America?
Well, yes, we were, but that's also for security reasons. We want to make sure that the heavy metals that we know that are in the soil, because NASA did the analysis, but we did them ourselves as well. We know that they are in there. So in principle, they could end up in the plants. And normally the plants are not suffering from that. They don't even show it, so they just will grow. But when we eat them, and if there is lead in it or mercury or chrome, for instance, you could get seriously ill. So that would cause problems. So we had to check for that, and that is what we did on the four crops you mentioned earlier, so the radishes, the rye, the tomato, and the peas, and we found that, well, there is some heavy metals in it, but the concentrations are that low that it is no threat to human life. So it's perfectly safe to eat, but it's, of course, very necessary to check that.
Absolutely. And so once you discovered that and you came to that conclusion, did you then eat it, Vigor?
Well, no, I didn't do that yet. But within the next 24 hours, that will happen, because a Dutch television show will make recordings tomorrow. And then for the first time, I will taste. But already someone from the children's channel in the Netherlands did taste the rocket. And, well, she's still alive. Survived.
Wait a second. Hold on a second, Vigor. Are you telling me that before you were willing to risk your life, you got a kid in there to taste it?
No, not a kid. No, the presenter of the children's channel. That's a grown-up. a woman. But there was no reason for concern. So she tasted it in the rocket, and it just tasted as she expected. What was very funny, we think, besides we are growing crops in Martian soil in Simmeland, we also have a control, so to compare with, and that is earth potting soil. You can buy it in your local store,
yep,
if you want to. And what came out was that, for instance, for lead, that potting soil, the lead concentrations were higher in the plants that were grown on the normal potting soil than on the Martian soil simulant.
Wow.
So it's, well, if you could say anything about it, for lead, it's safer to eat from the Martian soil simulant. And, of course, that is bizarre.
That is bizarre and unexpected.
Unexpected, yes. But, it tells me something about how we treat our environment. There are that many heavy metals around due to pollution, that even in the soil we daily use, there are more heavy metals in a higher concentrations than when you go to a volcano on Hawaii and take soil there.
This is fascinating to me. Now, I'm curious, I'm always curious about process, and I'm curious about how you build things, and I'm curious about how you're going to protect what's growing on Mars from the solar radiation, which is much higher there, I believe, than it is on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct about that?
Yes. Yes, you're correct about that, and that makes sense, because Mars does not have an electric field to shield it. Earth has. That's why you get the northern light in winter times. So we are protected, and we have an ozone layer. We are also protected by that, but Mars doesn't have that, so all the cosmic radiation ends up on the surface. And we've got some more problems over there, because it's really cold over there. Normally minus 60 degrees centigrade. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit, but it's really cold.
Yes.
Colder than on the North Pole. There's also a problem that there is almost no air, so you cannot breathe there. So what I propose is that you go, that you dig in, go under the soil, put some soil on your habitat to protect you, not only for the plants, but also for the people that live there, because they have to protect it as well. So you go indoors, well, you build something like a hobbit home, as you, well, probably know how it looks like. And so you have a layer of soil to protect you over the habitats where you live in, and there you're going to grow your crops. So it's totally protected from the outside world. Well, you need, of course, LED lights then to have light inside. So you need solar panels, but you need them anyway because you need energy. And then in there you have a total controlled environment. But what we propose is to bring as less as possible over there because that costs a lot of fuel to bring it there. And use the soil that is there, so the Martian soil, and also the water that is there in the form of ice. So then you don't have to bring that.
Yep. By the way, minus 60 Celsius is minus 76 Fahrenheit for my listeners who live in the Fahrenheit world here in the United States. But how will the Mars One crew build something out of just the soil and the water that will then be able to protect the plants and themselves?
Well, they're probably the first settlers, I suppose, because I'm not a technician, will have to bring that with them. And then it's quite easy, of course, to cover it up because the soil is rather loose. So that won't be too big problem. But, yeah, they will bring, will have to bring habitats. But I know that already in the 70s, so after the first landings on the moon, Japanese companies were busy using at least moon soil, but I think also now Martian soil, to see, to investigate how you can build, well, houses or something like that from it.
Do the humans who are going there have to take fertilizer? I know that they will be making fertilizer, Mark Watney style, but do they have to take some
yes,
with them specifically
will.
For the plants?
Well, the way we plan to do it, it's not necessary, but, well, you probably know that a trip over there costs about half a year or three quarters of a year.
Yep.
During that time, they will have to eat as well. So then there will be poo as well. That you don't throw away, but you keep. So you have already for half a year poo, so you use that as well as fertilizer. But we have another trick. Well, most of the nutrients that so the manure that you need is also there on Mars, but what you miss is nitrates. And that's where, again, the peas come in, and also the green beans, because they can do a trick. If you have normal air in there, and that's one of the things you need, because people will have to live there, so there's a lot of nitrogen in the air, the peas, together with bacteria, can change that into manure. And you eat, of course, the pea or the beans, mm-hmm. and the rest you dig under. And that also will fertilize the soil.
All right. How do you pollinate plants and flowers on Mars? Do we have to send bees and insects?
Well, that's one of the options. And I was always in favor of that. And, well, you could bring bees, but I'm more in favor of bumblebees. First of all, I like to say bumblebees, but that's something personal. but second is that it's easier to bring bumblebees because in the northern hemisphere, they hibernate. And you can bring them in hibernation towards Mars in that half-year period. And then when they need it, you can wake them and they can start building colonies inside, well, you could call it greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So they could help you. Insects could do their job as well, other insects, but of course bumblebees are very good at it. But this year, the first year, because in our greenhouse we don't have bumblebees, and up till this year I have been pollinating all the plants by hand, and that's a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
by a little paintbrush, and you can do that in an experiment, but you cannot do that if you have to grow crops for 6 or 12 or more people. So well, you could use the bumblebees, but this year we had all self-fertilizing plants in the greenhouse, and it turned out that worked very well, even the tomatoes, but also the beans, who need normally to be fertilized by the, so to be pollinated by the bumblebees, they just form beans, and they also have the little beans in them. But I do not know yet if these are fertile. So if I harvest them, you don't eat everything, of course, also not from the rye, but you need to keep something behind for the next harvest, of course. So I don't know if they're really fertile, so they will grow on.
That's still a
major question.
You're saying you need to save the seeds from everything that you grow. You can't eat everything because you need to plant the next generation.
Yes, of course. Otherwise, you have to fly in new seeds every time. And that also would be costly, though it takes less space than bringing all kinds of other stuff. But, well, our plan is that you have the plants over there. Some of them you eat, some of them you keep for the next generation. And, of course, for potatoes, that's quite easy. But also for beans and for peas, you have to do that.
Well, Vigor, I am fascinated by this. We've been following the Mars One project for several years on my show. And, in fact, a woman from right here in St. Louis by the name of Maggie Duckworth is one of the 100 finalists for the Mars One project. And I've been in touch with her, and she tells me that they're now going to break it down into smaller groups and see how they work and play together. And so the project is going forward, and I'm sure that Boz and the others at the top of the Mars One project were very happy to hear the results of your research this week. And I'm sure they want to know tomorrow, after you taste the food, does it taste good? But in the end, that doesn't really matter. As long as it's nutritious enough to support human life, the taste doesn't really matter, does it?
No, that's true. But I think for other reasons, so you want to be happy there as well. And if you have to eat, maybe the rest of your life, tasteless food, I wouldn't be happy.
That's true. That's a very good point. Well, congratulations on what you've done thus far. And I look forward to hearing the results of your further research into this. Thank you so much for joining me, Vigor.
Thank you.
That's Vigor Vamelink, who is a scientist at Wageningen University in the Netherlands and one of the researchers on the Mars One project. Pretty remarkable, discovering that he can grow these things in a simulant, if you will, of Martian soil. This is the Big 550 KTRS.